We simply don't have the time to look at these verses in detail, but we will look at them in their connection to the Lord's Supper. The book of Revelation, for those of you who have studied this book with me, know that it is written to give hope and joy to God's people who are undergoing much sufferings and persecutions. This book shows the end. Thus, it also shows the new beginning. It shows heaven, our eternal home. It shows the true picture of our salvation that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, this world is not everything. There is another world. There is another reality that we are not able to see now with our physical eyes. We must not live our lives as if this world is everything. And if we look at this world and this world only, then we will never be satisfied. There will be always discontentment. It seems that this world is winning. It seems that the Christianity, our God, is powerless. But like I told you before, there is another reality. We must see through the Word of God the actions of our God. God is alive and He's working, even now. Brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, see the truth through the Word of God. Come and see how everything ends. The book of Revelation, chapters 17 through 21, it shows how all end in terms of two female figures. Two women. The first one, the great harlot. And the second woman, the bride of the Lamb. The great harlot symbolizes this world. And the bride of the Lamb, as you know, symbolizes the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. You. The great harlot enjoys now much wealth and glory of this world. And she persecutes the bride of the Lamb, the church. Revelation 17 verse 6 says, "And I saw the woman, the great harlot, drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the witnesses of Jesus." From that symbolical language, you understand this great harlot persecutes the bride of the Lamb. To borrow the expression of the psalmist, the pride is her necklace. But if you read this book of Revelation, you know that she will be judged. She is already judged by God. She will be destroyed. This great harlot, and according to Revelation 17 verse 5, she is also called the Babylon, the Great. She will be silenced. Chapter 18 verse 21, And 22 says this, then a strong angel took up a stone like a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, so will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will not be found any longer. And the sound of harpists and musicians, flute players, trumpeters will not be heard in you any longer. And no craftsman of any craft will be found in you any longer. And the sound of a mill will not be heard in you any longer. It will be completely destroyed, complete silence. But we see another woman. In heaven, and there is a great celebration, a great praise. Chapter 19, verse 1. After these things, I heard something like a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven saying, hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Because his judgments are true and righteous, for he has judged the great harlot who was corrupting the earth with her immorality, and he has avenged the blood of his bondservants on her. And a second time they said, hallelujah, her smoke rises up forever and ever. Her judgment is eternal one. Verse 4, and the 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God, who sits on the throne, saying, amen, hallelujah. And a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God, all you his bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. Then I heard something like the voice of a great multitude, and like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty reigns. Do you hear it? Do you hear the celebration in heaven? It is going on right now. And you, all of you, are active participants of that praise. You are active participants of that celebration. You are active participants of that worship, even as you worship our God right now. All the purpose of God is consummated. Chapter 19, verse 7. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. It was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. The heavenly marriage of the Lamb and the marriage supper of the Lamb. The eternal heavenly banquet. You and I will sit at his table and eat and drink with him. The never-ending joyous fellowship of heaven with our God is completely consummated in our passage. On that glorious day, there will be a wedding. The husband is our Lord Jesus Christ. His bride is his church. You and me. On that day, there will be a marriage supper. worship, praise, and joyous heavenly fellowship with our God forever and ever. This worship that you came to, and this Lord's Supper, witness to that reality. Do you see it? Do you see your heavenly reality? Well, you will not see it in this world, because it is not. This celebration is not happening here in this world. Do you see how you are already participating in that wedding? And do you see how you are already participating in that marriage supper spiritually, even now? They are your present spiritual reality. God is your husband. Isaiah 54 verse 5 says, "For your husband is your maker." But all of us, every one of us, have abandoned this husband and became harlots, prostitutes, spiritually. In Jeremiah chapter 3 verse 20, God says, "Surely as a woman treacherously departs from her lover, so you have dealt treacherously with me." The story of the destruction of the great harlot makes sense to us. If we understand what she has done, we understand her destruction. And if the Bible ends with that story, the destruction of this great harlot, it would make sense to us. But the Bible does not end with that. See the amazing grace of God. At the end of the Bible, we see the story of a wedding between Jesus Christ and His church. You and I, the spiritual adulterer, He is marrying us. That's how the Bible ends. Even God abandons us forever to hell, we have nothing to say. But our true husband loves us. Us, the filthy sinners, He loves us to the end. Or rather, forever. Without the end. He never abandons us, His bride. Even from the Old Testament, God has promised, Isaiah 62 verse 5b, "And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so your God will rejoice over you." Hosea chapter 2 verse 19 and 20, "I will betroth you to me forever. Yes, I will betroth you to me in righteousness and in justice, in loving kindness and in compassion, and will betroth you to me in faithfulness. Then you will know the Lord." To fulfill this promise of God, God Himself comes. To fulfill this promise, Jesus Christ Himself comes as a man to marry this filthy bride, you and me, forever. This filthy bride, He washes her with His blood. He cleanses all her unrighteousness. And He puts a beautiful wedding dress, His righteousness, on her. Then He marries her forever and ever. And He loves her forever and ever. And this, my brothers and sisters, is what the salvation of God is all about. Verses 7 and 8, His bride has made herself ready, clothed herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Are these verses speaking of salvation by works? Of course not. It says, it was given to her to clothe herself in the fine linen. It was given to her. Isaiah 64 verse 6 says, For all of us have become like one who is unclean, and all our righteousness deeds are like a filthy garment. The Bible doesn't contradict itself. The Bible does not teach the salvation by works. Because your righteousness is like a filthy rags to God. The bright and clean garment reminds us of the white robes that the residents of heaven wear in chapter 7 of the book of Revelation. There we read, they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. And in Revelation chapter 6, verse 11a, it says, And there was given to each of them a white robe. Again, it says, it is given to them. Isaiah 61, verse 10, I will rejoice greatly in the Lord. My soul will exalt in my God, for He has clothed me with garments of salvation. He has wrapped me with a robe of righteousness. As a bridegroom decks himself with a garland, and a bride adorns herself with her jewels. In Ezekiel 16, salvation is described as God coming to this bloody, filthy sinner. And He cleanses her. He puts beautiful garment over her, beautiful jewelry. Then He marries her. From the beginning to the end, it is the act of God. He accomplishes our salvation alone. Yes, we are clothed with Jesus Christ Himself. Galatians 3:27, For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Romans 13 verse 14, Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Paul says. I want you to understand these verses in terms of the following verses. Let's look at two places. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. It is God who qualifies us. Go to 2 Thessalonians verse chapter 1 verse 5. This is a plain indication of God's righteous judgment, so that you will be considered worthy of the kingdom of God, for which indeed you are suffering. I want you to understand this. The bright and clean linen, they point to our union with our Lord Jesus Christ. Even as you see the residents of heaven wearing this bright and clean linen, You are looking at what? The image of our Lord Jesus Christ. For He is glorious in heaven. And what this verse tells us is how we are going to be in heaven, like Him. And if we are going to be like Him in heaven, we are going to be like Him here. So in this sense, the righteous acts of the saints point to what kind of life they live. Not their own righteousness that could save them, we're not talking about that, but because of their salvation, because of the grace of God that has been given to them, now they are faithful, ultimately until death, just like their Lord Jesus Christ. He was faithful until death. Do you remember Antipas of the church in Pergamum? Jesus calls him my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you. And you notice Jesus himself is called the witness, the faithful one. Do you see it? Do you see how you are going to be in heaven? You will be like Him. No, not talking about you being God. But anything less than that statement, that you being God, you're going to be like Him. Do you see it? What kind of people you are, even as you live your lives here. You are the imitators of Christ. Second Corinthians chapter 11 verse 2 says, "For I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. For I betrothed you to one husband, so that to Christ I might present you as a pure virgin." Yes, through the word of God, through the work of the Holy Spirit, you have been betrothed to our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 31 and 32. "For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church." Paul takes all of us back to Genesis. Adam and Eve, they were created as a man and a wife. And from there, God's will is for man leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Obviously, it is talking about marriage between a man and a woman. But Paul says, no, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and His church. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 16 and 17 says, "Or do you not know that the one who joins herself to a prostitute, himself to a prostitute, is one body with her? For he says, the two shall become one flesh. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is one spirit with him." See, he's using the marriage to show us what kind of relationship that he has with us. We're one flesh, one spirit with Christ. You are one spirit with Jesus Christ. Because you have married your true husband, Jesus Christ. Your husband, your eternal husband, invites you to his wedding feast. Yeah, to the world, it's laughable. I mean, look at the things that are given to you. In a worldly standard, what is it? This much wine and one cracker? But nothing that could bring it to here from this world can clearly show what really happens in heaven. So we don't even try. Even if we bring all the food of this world here, that is not enough. But I want you to see this with your spiritual eyes. Who is giving these elements to you? Who is inviting you to his table? Even as we worship him together, you are worshiping him as his eternal bride. Your husband invites you to his wedding feast. And your husband gives himself to you. He loves you. You have perfect satisfaction in your eternal husband because he will never disappoint you. Your earthly husbands will disappoint you. Guaranteed. They are not your hope. Thank God they are not your hope. But you have another husband. Even your husbands, you have the true husband who will never disappoint you. See the bread and the wine and see how your sins have been paid for. Your sins have been forgiven. He died for you to marry you forever and ever. Heaven without Jesus Christ is meaningless to us. Likewise, there is no heaven without you in it for Christ. Jesus Christ cannot think of heaven apart from you, for whom he died. Zephaniah 3:17. As you come to his table, see how much he loves you. And see how happy he is because of you. Zephaniah 3:17, the Lord your God is in your midst, a victorious warrior. He will exult over you with joy. He will be quiet in his love. He will rejoice over you with shouts of joy. Psalm 45 verse 11 says, then the king will desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Bow down to him. Do you understand? Your Lord Jesus Christ delights in you. Psalm 27 verse 4, one thing I have asked from the Lord, that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to meditate in His temple. Do you see it? The true husband beholds the beauty of the bride, and the bride beholds the beauty of her husband. That's what is going on at this table. It's complete satisfaction from one another. Christ from you, and you from Him. All because of what Christ has accomplished. He desires your beauty. And I want you to behold His beauty. And as you receive this love from Him, love Him. And I pray that that love that you have for Him will be evident in your lives and in this church. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory and honor and power. Oh Father, we are satisfied in your Son Jesus Christ and Him alone, who desire nothing apart from you, our God. Bless your bride, that we may be faithful bride of God. Bless us, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.